Shalom, Chevarim. Baruch haba lachol makshavim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My friends, there is an ancient and very picturesque Jewish sentiment that since all things were called into existence by God to give Him glory, every aspect of creation has its own particular hymn of praise to express. The rivers and brooks gurgle their liquid ecstasy. The seas and oceans roar their booming benediction, and the very desert bares its scant-attired bosom to pour its soothing song in unencumbered, duneful waves of perfumed melody. And well the desert might sing, for hasn't God adorned its eager breast with a jewel mined from heaven's own materials and cut with the concepts of deity? Is not this divine jewel sometimes described as the tabernacle in the wilderness? But how much more do I prefer its Hebrew name, the Mishkan, for, as I have already pointed out, this Hebrew title carries with it the true idea of God dwelling in the midst of Israel. Yes, the tabernacle was a precious jewel, which God reposed upon the undulating bosom of the desert at Sinai. But it sparkled not with the scintillating rays of reflected light, but with the very illumination of God, self-enclosed within its universal symbolism. In my last message, we reflected upon the outer courtyard of this structure which Moses was commanded to erect in the wilderness. Although its white walls seemed, at first, like the absolute righteousness of God, shutting us poor sinners out of His holy presence, yet you will remember we found a door, eloquent and colorful. Though made of the same material as the outer courtyard, the white texture of which was still before our eyes, yet this door had, in addition, the daring combination of blue, purple, and scarlet interwoven through the white. What is the symbolic secret locked up in this fourfold color scheme of the door into God's presence? That there is symbolism is affirmed by our great Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, better known as Nachmanides, when he declares that the designer of the tabernacle also understood the symbolism of every object he designed. Let us try both to understand and to revel in this rich symbolism. What is the symbolic implication of purple? Well, no need to tense ourselves for mental effort. The answer is easy. Purple is the color of kings. The Hebrew word translated purple is argaman, a word derived from the Hebrew root ragom, conveying basically the root idea of a fiery colored, reddish purple, bright and glowing, in opposition to tehelet, a bluish purple. And it was a costly and distinctive color, obtained in ancient times from a shellfish known as Murex trunculus, found in the Mediterranean waters. This demure denizen of the watery world secreted in its throat only one single drop of this rare and precious color. When the patriarch Jacob went down into Egypt, he is said to have seen there his son Joseph clad in royal robes, a crown upon his head, and a purple mantle over his shoulders. In the Song of Songs, we read that the palanquin of King Solomon was covered with purple. This thought recalls antique Jewish records that King Messiah dwells on a palanquin, the throne of which is purple, whilst the cloud of glory, symbol of the Shekhinah, the personal presence of God, reflected a purple color. Beyond doubt, purple is the color of kings, and particularly of the King of Kings, the Holy One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He. But, in addition, we must recognize that purple is also the messianic color of the King Messiah Redeemer of Israel, who is to rule over all the world, the one who, according to Jewish tradition, is appointed to bring such a salvation as will put a final end to all sinfulness. But why, among the four colors of the tabernacle, should we find this kingly color in the door? We know that the door, in this instance, signifies entrance and access to God, the King of the universe. Is entrance and access to a king by means of a king? Ah, my friends, among the multitude of Israel's God-inspired messengers, three in particular are jostling my elbow, pressing forward to answer that question. One is the prophet Zechariah. Let our eyes turn in the direction in which his finger is pointing, and hear him exclaim, Gili mod bat Zion, Hari'i bat Yerushalayim, Hine melkeich yavo lach, Tzadik vinoshahu, Ani virohev al chamor. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is righteous and has salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass. On these words of Zechariah, our great commentator, Rashi, exclaims, this can only refer to King Messiah. And one of our early Jewish legends refers to, and here I quote, the ass upon which the Messiah will appear, riding at the end of days, unquote. The ass is as well known as a symbol of peace as the horse is well known as a symbol of war. Who then is this Messiah, King, Savior, righteous and lowly? What is his name? How insistent is the second messenger, the prophet Jeremiah, to answer this question? Well, let him speak to us, and we will listen. Hine yamim boim naum Adonai, vihakimoti le David, simach sadik, vimalach melech, vihiskil, vizeshmo asher yikro, Adonai tzidkenu. Behold, the days come, saith the Eternal, that I will raise unto David a righteous shoot, and he shall reign as king and prosper, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Eternal, our righteousness. That distinguished scholar, Rabbi Dr. H. Friedman, B.A., Ph.D., reminds us that this is a messianic prophecy, and that the word tzemach, here employed, is a term used to denote the messianic king. But I myself would call your attention to another important stream of truth flowing from Jeremiah's inspired utterance. We have seen that the Messiah king on the human side sprouts out from King David, yet his name, Adonai Tzidkenu, Jehovah our righteousness, confronts us with deity as well as humanity. Perhaps something of this uninterrupted force of Jeremiah's announcement reached and affected Jewish tradition, which concedes that the Messiah existed before the creation of the world. Tradition in this case does provide a true reflection of divine revelation, the combination of which, caught up into the symbolism of the tent in the desert, paints a purple portrait of a human divine king, lowly and righteous, and himself the instrument of a pre-planned redemption, one whose initial advent is not associated with war and conquest, but with peace and righteousness. We will keep this picture in our mind, for there are others we must place alongside it in ensuing messages. Oh, I nearly forgot the third messenger. You've been wondering who he is. Judging from the warm and approving way he is received by Zechariah and Jeremiah, and their obviously common interests, I feel we should know his name. Yet I confess I shall have to inquire it. I feel rather embarrassed about this, but inquire I must. Excuse me a moment. Why, this third gentleman declares he has actually seen King Messiah, and has described in a book his prophesied journey on that very animal. He says the incident is recorded in a record he wrote, and which commences with these words, Sefer Toledot Yeshua HaMashiach ben David ben Avraham, the book of the generations of Yeshua the Messiah, son of David, son of Abraham. See how this messenger ignores chronology and places the kingly line from David in priority to the patriarchal line from Abraham. Yes, indeed, each of these three God-inspired Jewish witnesses, Zechariah, Jeremiah, and Matthew the tax gatherer, for such I find is the name of the third, could cry in the words of the psalmist, My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai p'novelecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai p'novelecha v'yaseim lecha, Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.